Good morning. Today's reading is taken from The Emperor by Richard Kapuscinski. Chapter 1, The Throne, beginning at page 7. The Emperor began his day by listening to informers' reports. The night breeds dangerous conspiracies, and Haile Selassie knew that what happens at night is more important than what happens during the day. During the day, he kept his eye on everyone. At night, that was impossible. For that reason, he attached great importance to the morning reports. And here I would like to make one thing clear. His Venerable Majesty was no reader. For him, neither the written nor the printed word existed. Everything had to be relayed by word of mouth. His Majesty had had no schooling. His sole teacher, and that only during his childhood, was a French Jesuit, Monseigneur Jerome, later Bishop of Harar and a friend of the poet Arthur Rimbaud. This cleric had no chance to inculcate the habit of reading in the emperor, a task made all the more difficult, by the way, because Haile Selassie occupied responsible administrative positions from his boyhood and had no time for regular reading. But I think there was more to it than a lack of time and habit. The custom of relating things by word of mouth had this advantage. If need be, the emperor could say that a given dignitary had told him something quite different from what had really been said, and the latter could not defend himself, having no written proof. Thus the emperor heard from his subordinates not what they told him, but what he thought should be said. His Venerable Highness had his ideas, and he would adjust to them all the signals that came from his surroundings. It was the same with writing, for our monarch not only never used his ability to read, but he also never wrote anything and never signed anything in his own hand. Though he ruled for half a century, not even those closest to him knew what his signature looked like. During the emperor's hours of official functions, the minister of the pen always stood at hand and took down all the emperor's orders and instructions. Let me say that during working audiences, his majesty spoke very softly, barely moving his lips. The minister of the pen, standing half a step from the throne, had to bend his ear close to the imperial lips in order to hear and write down the imperial decisions. Furthermore, the emperor's words were usually unclear and ambiguous, especially when he did not want to take a definite stand on a matter that required his opinion. One had to admire the emperor's dexterity. When asked by a dignitary for the imperial decision, he would not answer straight out, but would rather speak in a voice so quiet that it reached only the minister of the pen, who moved his ear as close as a microphone. The minister transcribed his ruler's scant and foggy mutterings. All the rest was interpretation, and that was a matter for the minister, who passed down the decision in writing. The minister of the pen was the emperor's closest confidant, and enjoyed enormous power. From the secret Kabbalah of the monarch's words, he could construct any decision that he wished. If a move by the emperor dazzled everyone with its accuracy and wisdom, it was one more proof that God's chosen one was infallible. On the other hand, if from some corner the breeze carried rumours of discontent to the monarch's ear, he could blame it all on the minister's stupidity. And so the minister was the most hated personality in the court. Public opinion, convinced of his Venerable Highness's wisdom and goodness, blamed the minister for any thoughtless or malicious decisions, of which there were many. True, the servants whispered about why Haile Selassie didn't replace the minister, but in the palace, questions were always asked from top to bottom, and never vice versa. When the first question was asked in a direction opposite to the customary one, it was a signal that the revolution had begun. Here ends the reading from Richard Kapuscinski's The Emperor. Have a very good day.